Welcome to the Tivoli Americas Pipeline Building Call, enabling smarter solutions for clients with Maximo. All lines will be in a listen-only mode until the question and answer portion at the end of the presentation. To ask a question at that time, please press star, then one. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Pete Carnes, sir, you may begin.
Thanks, Becca. Good day, everyone, and thank you for taking time out of your day to spend some time with us on this important topic. Over the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to spend some time talking about how Maximo Asset Management is enabling our clients as they embark on a path to become smarter. And as you know, we operate in a wide variety of industries, and we're going to talk through a handful of examples today to sort of share with you some of those anecdotes and some of those stories that can help you engage with your clients and your prospects to have discussions and hopefully uncover some opportunities. You know, we work with our clients to help them improve their business, whether they're a bank with retail banking operations, whether they're a power generation utility, retail outfit, you name it, we work with our clients to improve their business. And by improve their business, I'm really focused on three things today, and again, we'll give examples throughout. First is reducing costs. How do we help clients reduce costs, both on operational costs as well as capital expenditures? How do we help them improve compliance, safety issues, pretty much anything regulatory related that our clients are tasked with, again, in the context of their industry? A lot of that gets down to how they manage their assets and how their personnel interacts with those assets. We're going to talk about that. And the third area of improvement is about improving service to their clients, both internal and external, improving how they go about generating revenue, and innovating within their business to create new lines of service. So again, we're going to talk through that. And we'll explore how our solutions are playing a role and really why there's so much opportunity for IBM to help our clients become smarter. Now, one thing I'd like to reiterate, and I'll, for those that have heard me talk before, this is a common theme, but this is something IBM is completely unique in the marketplace in being able to support. When we talk about asset management, we're talking about all kinds of physical and operational assets, boilers, turbines, trucks, airplanes, roadways and infrastructure. And at the same time, we're also talking about technology-oriented assets, software, routers, switches, things of that nature that we know are frankly blending together with those operational assets. This is something IBM and the Maximo software is uniquely capable of supporting our clients in this area. And again, I'm going to talk through why that matters. But keep that in mind here as we're talking with our clients that HP can't do this, BMC can't do this, nor can Oracle and SAP, and it's a linchpin for an account strategy. So before I get into the meat of the conversation, I just want to say a couple words on Pulse as we switch to slide two. As you know, Pulse is approximately 5 weeks away. In fact, 5 weeks from now, we'll be sitting in the general session out in Las Vegas. So the reason I wanted to bring up Pulse, really two reasons. One is there's a tremendous amount of client-driven content this year. There's over 300 presentations, many of which will revolve around smarter themes, what our clients are actually doing to improve their business. And you see here on slide two some of the different streams in areas. Obviously, enterprise asset management here has a stream and others, but there'll be a lot of depth around this topic. Now, the other key area, obviously, it provides you with an opportunity, particularly for your prospects, to introduce them and educate them more, not only on how IBM can help them, but how we can demonstrate our industry expertise to them. And there'll be a series of occurrences at the event this year where clients will be able to sort of get a feel for how IBM works within their industry, domain expertise. There'll be very specific roadmaps by industries for clients that travel through the event. There's the industry roundtables. So, again, I'd encourage you all to be having conversations with your clients now about attending Pulse and hopefully nominating them for some industry roundtables. Slide three has a couple of key links for you if you have questions, and then certainly feel free to reach out to myself or members of the Pulse team with any questions. Now, as we switch to slide four, let me just briefly hit our objective today. My goal with you on the phone today is to really provide you with some information, some stories, some anecdotes, some questions, so you can have a dialogue with your clients and your prospects uncover potential opportunities. And we're going to do that by talking about how asset management is solving some tough business challenges, again, reducing costs, improving compliance, increasing service levels, and how we're doing that and help them becoming smarter. So you see here the agenda down below. We're going to work through these different topics, and at the end of the call, we'll certainly open up the call for some Q&A. So we move to the call to action on slide 5. Again, let's work through this presentation. We know all of our clients have the opportunity to improve as it relates to managing their assets, and I'm going to give you some hard examples here in a minute. Our approach to asset management, again, IBM's approach to asset management is unique and frankly is where the market needs it to be, meaning, look, we have different types of assets as a company, but, you know, I'm seeing more and more software on my pumps and on my boilers, and I need to get a handle on all this data I have because there's so many things instrumented now and so many things interconnected. How do I leverage that data to get smart? Right, and now you can see how a conversation can start around asset management and build up into analytics or build up into optimization. We've talked a little bit about that, but again, asset management really is at the core of a smarter planet conversation with your clients and prospects. You see some links in here that you can leverage to build an ROI story for your prospects. As we know, most clients are still very in tune with business cases for any large purchases, so you can leverage the ROI tool to support that, as well as the asset management sales kits, and I'll provide some contact names at the end of the presentation in terms of who you can engage with for help. But again, our goal here is to put some tools in your pocket that you can go talk with clients about and get some opportunities moving in 2010. So as we switch to slide 6, let's just go ahead and dive right in here. The core of Smarter Planet, and I'm imagining most of you have seen this slide before, is really grounded in the concept that, you know, we've thought about IT as traditional IT apps, data centers, PCs, routers, and we've thought about infrastructure as sort of physical assets that get used to do things, right? Buildings, factories, pipelines, turbines, trucks, et cetera. The reality of the world today, and this is happening, this isn't a dream, this is happening today, is that these worlds are coming together. We know that assets are becoming more instrumented, they're certainly becoming more interconnected, and when you put those two things together, that means there's a potential for much more intelligence, and that intelligence can be used proactively to make very smart or smarter business decisions that can drive results. So, in essence, if you think about it, this creates challenges for some companies in that there's more complexity in their assets, there's potentially more complexity in their business processes. They need more capabilities to manage this stuff so they can leverage it. And there is more reliance on management systems, and I'm going to talk to that in a second. On the bright side, and I'm going to give some client examples a little bit later on, boy, I mean, there's with the amount of intelligence that we can capture about how our assets are operating or how to make business decisions about where should I invest or, you know, what's the optimal maintenance program for this part of the business, insight and collaboration. We can leverage that, and then when we think about what better data does for us, intelligence, it's about efficiency. How do I improve my profit margins by moving costs out into the next year, or how do I reduce my operational expenditures? And it's about innovation. We have clients that have literally created new lines of business. For example, manufacturers that have said, boy, you know, I used to sell these assets, and that was where I made my money, but now I have the opportunity to really, because things are so interconnected and instrumented, I can get data back from my assets once I've sold them, and now I can put in place a line of business to actually provide aftermarket service with hyper-accurate programs so I can manage my profit margin. That's innovation, and the reason that happens is because of the technology. So let me explain a little bit about sort of how and why. Now, every client you talk to, every prospect that's out there, they rely upon assets to perform their mission, generate revenue, provide citizens with a level of service, internal, whatever it is, they rely on one or more types of assets to do their mission. So as you see here in this slide, again, slide 7, just a couple examples. Mobility type infrastructure, right? Vehicles, aircraft, but also the infrastructure they travel on, roadways, railways, airport tarmacs, et cetera. facilities infrastructure, right? Buildings and in some cases land. Production style infrastructure that takes raw input and produces some type of good, whether it's a utility generation plant or it's an automotive manufacturing plant. The technology infrastructure that frankly underpins every business that's out there today, and then your comm infrastructure. Now, the reason that I think we're excited and we see so much opportunity with our clients is that historically a client would look at these different types of infrastructure and different, if you will, classes of assets and manage them very separately. They'd have a team of people for their vehicles, and they probably have some facilities engineers in their facilities, and certainly the IT staff is doing their thing, and maybe the data center folks conversed a little bit with the facilities folks, but not really. As we look at now, again, the concept of smarter planet, the notion of things being more instrumented, interconnected, and intelligent, we now look at these assets as really working together as systems of assets to produce a desired output for a company. So with that, there's really a new management approach that's required. Companies need a way to understand their entire asset infrastructure, apples to apples. They need a way to know that if there's a change made to this type of asset, let's say this type of software, well, that software is actually controlling how this pump runs. So if I'm expecting a ramp up in production, the people that are doing change management planning on the IT side, they need to be aware of that. Well, how do they have that visibility? So the first step, right, is the visibility across that infrastructure. Once we have that, then you get an element of control in there, and then as we know, once we have some control, then we can start to really improve processes by automating them. And again, the whole goal here is reduce costs. You know, not necessarily just building a better mousetrap, but really reduce costs. How do I identify areas of operational costs and or capital expenditures to make smart decisions? How do we improve service and then manage risk? And again, by taking sort of a more holistic approach to understanding what type of assets you have and then implementing everything from maintenance procedures to service level agreements against those systems of assets, that's how clients are going to make the leap from sort of the old way of doing things, being able to leverage their new intelligent assets to make leaps in their business performance. So let me give you four specifics here if you switch to slide 8. So our view, and when we talk with some of our customers and some of the customers you'll hear from Pulse, it really gets down to four areas. And this is something that when you put these four things together makes IBM unique in the marketplace. So the first is managing assets through all the stages of their life cycle, from I have a need to procurement through sort of the operational life cycle through retirement. The ability to manage all types of assets, again, in that single system, so I have that common visibility, so I can understand the relationships between different types of assets. I can understand how those relationships tie to service levels so I can make the appropriate operational decisions. That then leads to the ability or the need, really, to support converged assets. I can't just have a maintenance or an asset management system that says I have a pump in this area. That's fine. That's the old way of doing things. But that pump now probably has some type of onboard hardware. It's definitely on some type of a network. So how do you handle the processes there that are interconnected, where change management processes for the firmware or the software on the pump, who's doing that, and how do the operational teams leveraging the pump be aware of that? So the ability to support converged assets is a capability. What's more important is a system set up to handle the business processes that are changing with our clients as that technology becomes more pervasive. And then finally, and certainly not last here, is the ability to apply deep industry-specific applications and solutions. We know that our clients expect us to talk to them in the context of their industry. We know our competitors are trying to talk to our clients in terms of their industry, and frankly, our clients expect us as a world-class solution provider, is to understand their industry and what nuances may exist so we can help them meet their challenges and opportunities. So when you put these four areas in a box, this is what makes us stand out. This is what enables us to provide value to our clients. So let's talk a little bit about why our clients need our help. So if you switch to slide 9, I just want to give you a couple stats here. And these are all backed up by studies. So we know that 67% of best-in-class companies focus on improving asset utilization, meaning they take a proactive approach to managing their business. They don't just look to randomly whack costs out of the system. They look at, based on my forecast demand, and I know what my output needs to be, how do I improve my asset utilization? And the way people do that is by leveraging data, creating the need and the opportunity for intelligence to make better business decisions. Clients aren't, if you will, leveraging their smart assets and they're doing things the old way. They're probably not going to be operating as a best-in-class company. We know that 30% of enterprises that begin IT asset management programs, enterprises that embark on an IT asset management program, year one, on average, 30% reduction in cost and then an ongoing cost stream from there. With the pressure our clients' IT staffs are under, not only to do their existing job better, more efficient, improve service levels, but also to help the company roll out this technology into the line of business, that saving in cost, which in some sense is also relating to a freeing up of labor, that can help them innovate. That can help them go put this technology out in place in other parts of the business. When we look at best-in-class companies, we know that they operate at very high levels of efficiency in terms of, and these are manufacturing-related stats. Now, again, you get to this level of efficiency by intelligence, by knowing exactly what's happening with your assets and how they're performing, and then being as proactive as possible to address any potential failures and also managing your capacity as appropriate. And then finally, and I think this is probably the most telling stat, and I'm going to work through the acronyms here, but best-in-class companies are 86% more likely to integrate basically their maintenance systems or their asset management systems, Maximo, with their ERP backbone, finance. And they're also, which tells you that they're getting the more proactive cost information and making smarter business decisions. And they're also more likely to integrate the plant floor automation. Now, that helps with, again, those asset utilization type concepts where if I have that proactive intelligence, really data at the asset level, that we can turn that into intelligence that says, well, this thing's about to fail. Let's go proactively address that before it happens. For those in the U.S., this is a pretty telling stat. I think some of the stimulus dollars relate to this. You know, in general, the American Society of Civil Engineers collectively rates the infrastructure of the United States at a D. The primary reason for that is a significant number of what we call maintenance backlogs. So maintenance that hasn't occurred, asset management programs that maybe are a bit behind the curve. So obviously, none of our clients have a huge pool of money to go start throwing at problems. So they need to be able to make the right decisions on where can I put my precious capital dollars? If I have some leeway in my operational budget, where should I put that money? Again, we get there and we help those clients by leveraging intelligence. So let's talk about a couple of examples here at the asset level. Again, every client relies on assets to do their job. And this is just kind of a simple chart here to illustrate that there's lots of different types of assets. But if you look at through this list, these are all important things. I mean, if you are, the United States Social Security Administration, your IT infrastructure is really important. But you know what? Your facilities are really important, too, because of the way you have to manage the services that you provide to citizens. Conversely, if you are a local transit organization, no doubt your railway infrastructure and your facilities and your rolling stock, your trains are important. But think about the importance of the IT infrastructure and the monitoring of those trains and that railways and all the switching equipment and the alarms that occur when maybe something needs to be avoided. So again, there's technology everywhere throughout these assets. Let me just give you a couple actual client examples. We think about vehicles. Vehicles transport goods from one to another. We have a customer, Bluebell Creameries, that transports a relatively precious item, ice cream. And that ice cream obviously has to be transported in certain environmental conditions and within a certain amount of time. Well, this client deployed Maximo with some telematics capability, so they can proactively monitor the health of their trucks while they're on the road, and they can understand and avoid potential breakdowns, which not only lead to dissatisfied customers, but also significant inventory loss. So there's an example of, you know, the old way of doing things was just, we'll just kind of maintain the truck based on miles or whatnot. The new way says, okay, we can get some more data, we can make some smarter business decisions, let's deploy the technology and let's improve the business. And that's exactly what they did. And another good example is somebody, for folks in the D.C. metro area, D.C. WASA, the Water and Sewer Authority, have deployed Maximo and are now deploying some pretty sophisticated smart technology to help out with things such as water leakage, right, and to help better respond to emergency situations where things happen, let's face it. And the better information they have through monitoring tied in with the intelligence of here's what kind of assets that I have, here's where they are, here's their current condition, enables them to provide a much higher level service to their constituents. Now, I'm going to give you one more example, and I'm going to tie this into an actual customer scenario in a minute. For those that serve the chemicals and petroleum industry, specifically upstream in the exploration and production, familiar with something called a multi-phase meter, which is basically a way to measure oil, gas, or water, whatever it is, from a well. It's almost like a speedometer for producing a well. Now, this technology is very industrial, right? It's on a rig. There's a lot of throughput coming through it, but it's tied in with a monitoring infrastructure, and it's tied in with what's called a well optimization network, and I'm going to talk to that in a minute, but again, this is a pretty industrial piece of equipment that needs to be managed, and clients have challenges managing these today. But as clients look to get more out of their wells, as they look to get more out of their infrastructure, they're trying to get more data off these multi-phase meters to make better decisions. Well, that means there's a network from the meter through the rig back to some corporate office somewhere, and there's lots of moving parts. So I'm going to talk to that in a second with the win that we had back in Q4 with a company called Baker Hughes, and sort of, if you will, talk about a so what scenario for Smarter Planet. Why does it matter to the client? But again, remember that multi-phase meter. Okay, if we switch to slide 11, just real briefly in terms of our solution, IBM with Maximo Asset Management Solution is unique in the marketplace. We can manage every type of asset that our client has through its life cycle. We know how to help them manage their cost efficiencies, and some of this stuff is basic blocking and tackling, helping them manage inventory levels, understanding what labor they have that's available to work on certain jobs, kind of your classic asset management. We do that very well. We're the leader in the market space. But when you look at and you kind of point back to those four areas I mentioned earlier that clients are looking for to help them improve their business, this is where we excel. Manage through the life cycle, support all assets, the industry knowledge and domain expertise that comes in the form of product and people and services, and the ability to support converged assets. This is what we do, as very simply here represented on this chart. Okay, let's switch to slide 12 real briefly. And again, part of this is all about asset management, but I think a large part of the value, and the bigger part of the value, is extending this conversation out into sort of Team IBM across the company. And one way to look at this with regards to service management is that, you know, asset management is a piece of the puzzle. And as you build off the pieces of the puzzle, we create more and more value for clients. So for all y'all that are out there trying to talk to clients about CCMDB, service request management, you know, IT asset management, think about how to broaden the conversation to pull in an asset management discipline. How do we help this client across the board, not just in their IT operations? This is something that you can change the game. You can take HP and BMC where they cannot go by bringing this into the conversation. And again, with Smarter Planet out there on the airwaves and in sort of the boardrooms of our clients, this is asset management is a very tangible way to help you either improve your ability to win or uncover new opportunities. So as we switch to slide 13, I want to give you a couple examples of where Maximo plays a role in the variety of smarter planet solutions that are out there. I've highlighted a number here from smarter buildings to energy to telecom, and asset management plays a role in all of these. And I'm going to drill into the oil conversation here in a minute, but I'd encourage you to learn more, you know, reach out to myself, the industry leader team, the sales team within Maximo, and ask us, how does Maximo play a role in smarter transportation? Or, you know, what is it about telecom that, you know, asset management is so important? And let's have a dialogue about how we can go have a conversation with the client, help that client, and uncover some opportunity. But let me specifically talk about Smarter Oil here, and I'm going to move into a client example in a minute. Smarter Oil, a big part of that is about improving asset management to boost asset availability and greater responsiveness of the equipment, whether it's exploration and production equipment, the refining equipment, or sort of the delivery to retail. And that has a lot to do with very sophisticated assets, a highly regulated environment. And the more intelligence that companies in that industry can glean from their assets, the better decisions they can make about where to deploy those very capital-intensive assets. And as you might imagine, just watching the price of oil fluctuate, speed is very, very important in the oil and gas industry. So in a minute here, again, I'm going to talk to Baker Hughes. Briefly, before we get there, let me just recap again on how asset management enables smarter clients. You've heard me mention the four key points: asset lifecycle, all types of assets, convergence, and industry. And there's a few key points here that you can read through in terms of tangibly how, right? We've invested in our solution. This is something that IBM saw coming. This is something that the Maximo team saw coming, this convergence of assets. So our solution is there today. We have clients doing this and helping them manage all of their infrastructure in the context of their industry. If you're curious about references or, you know, product-level questions, definitely let us know. But, again, you should have confidence that this is here today and we are helping clients. So let's drill into a few examples here. So Bombardier, transportation company, manufacturing company, they – akin with a story I told earlier, they've moved from pure manufacturing now to actually providing service for the assets that they sell to their end customers because of their availability of data that they can get from instrumented assets that are interconnected back into a network. That gives them the intelligence to drive very sophisticated asset management programs that raise the reliability of their transportation assets, meaning they're more competitive as a business against their competition because they can, and I think, if you will, in more confidence, talk with a prospective transit company, if you will, that they know how to operate their assets at an extremely high level because of the intelligence they have. Someone like Austin Energy, that's in the midst of an intelligent utility network rollout. We talk about, you know, historically, we generate electricity and we just send it down to meters and what's used is used and that's pretty much it. But now there's a whole secondary communications network forming and the utility infrastructure that we talk a lot about smart meters, but you know, there's a lot behind that in terms of communications infrastructure and different types of assets that, you know, needs to be managed as much as, you know, the vehicles and the production equipment that generates and helps transmit and connect houses to the grid. So there's a lot that goes in there about, again, their asset management is changing. It's becoming more technology-centric. Why don't we switch to slide 16 here, and let me talk a little bit about Baker Hughes. Baker Hughes is a global oil field services company with operations in over 90 countries. It's a very large company, over 40,000 employees, and they had about $3.5 billion U.S. in revenue last year. So they work with lots of different oil and gas companies to, if you will, sort of evaluate and complete meaning drill and stand up, oil and gas wells. So a big part of what they talked to IBM about was, you know, hey, how do we be more efficient, right? How do we provide guaranteed drilling services where we can, in essence, differentiate our approach with our competitors by, in essence, guaranteeing that we're going to produce the output and whatnot that we talk with our prospective clients about. The way to get there for them was processing an incredibly high amount of data and ensuring that their asset performance, again, this is a very capital-intensive, complex industry, they needed to ensure that their asset performance was just peak, absolutely optimized. So we got into conversations with them throughout the sales cycle. We worked with their CIO, who had had a previous favorable experience with Maximo, competed with the asset management elements of SAP. And really, I think when you get down to it, why we won, a couple reasons. One, the industry depth in the product was a key differentiator. The subject matter expertise of their industry that we worked with them throughout the sales cycle and post-sales cycle was a major differentiator. And then as you get into and you look at the smarter solution portfolio and how it applies to a company like this, let me just talk briefly about this notion of well field optimization, which ties to Baker's desire for these guaranteed drilling services. Again, this is a pretty industry-specific example, but this is what the client was after. IBM had solutions that we put and talked to the client in the context of their industry, and we won a very sizable deal. So to me, this is a great example of where Smarter Planet, if you will, becomes very real. Remember that asset I mentioned earlier, the multi-phase meter, sort of the speedometer for what's coming out of a well. Well, there's all kinds of monitoring on that. It's very instrumented. It's interconnected back into sort of the hub of the business, and that helps. That data is then processed for decisions, both on the health of the meter, but also flow rates and things like that that gauge the performance of the well. Well, if you will, imagine the technology infrastructure that gets that data from the well, from the meter, back into somebody's desktop at corporate to process analysis. You're talking about smart devices deployed out in the Gulf of Mexico, the North Sea, you know, in very inhospitable places that are connected via likely satellite communications back into some type of wide area network. You get servers and databases and whatnot, capturing data, storing data, talking about routers and firewalls and different connections, and then you get back into a LAN and there's storage and whatnot. So kind of your classic complex network that needs to be highly reliable because that is now supporting the operation of the business down to the meter. How is that managed? I need to bring that into the conversation. If we're talking about asset management with this client, helping them improve well field optimization, guaranteed drilling services, I need to have a conversation about their communications infrastructure as much as how do we help them manage the meter and the rig. And this is where Smarter becomes real for IBM because we get to help them get that data back in a way that is highly reliable, highly secure, back in a way expeditiously to someone that can leverage the data or into a system that can leverage the data to help the client make better decisions. This is what we do. So, and again, when you think about the notion of managing the technology, the meter is a great example. Physical asset, highly regulated, oil flow, gas flow, right, grease under your fingernails type stuff. But at the same time, we have the whole communications infrastructure that we as IBM, we know how to do that very, very well. So the combination of that coupled with physical asset management, that's what sets us apart. And that's what helps us win deals like Baker Hughes. Okay, so transitioning a little bit to slide 17, you think about who within my prospect and my client can I talk to about this? Who's interested in asset management? Whose job is affected by the performance of assets? And if you think about it, this is a simplistic example, kind of industry agnostic, but you know we're moving from line of business operations managers that are looking at inventory and capacity and how do I manage that to financial managers that are doing a lot of analysis to risk and compliance officers that are looking to understand, where am I? Do I have the right policies in place? Can I test those processes? Down to, different types of managers over different types of assets. Even someone like a service desk technician that is taking first or second level calls for not just IT assets, but could be that meter. They could get a call from someone on the rig that says, we got a little issue here and there's a problem. And if that service tech can not only take the call, but can immediately pull up that asset, understand where it is, who it came from, do we have spares in reserve on that rig and can very quickly diagnose and provide a resolution to the problem. All of these different types of folks play off of asset management. So back to my earlier comment about visibility, if this company that you were talking with today has lots of different approaches and lots of different systems for managing their different types of assets, you know they're stuck, and it's our job to go help them improve. And by helping them improve, we need to get them to a common platform so they can first get to that level of visibility, and then we'll take them from there. We're going to help them improve their business. So a couple of key questions if you switch to slide 18. Again, the key context here is what's their industry, and I need to understand their industry challenges and opportunities. Some will be specific to the client. And then think about that client. And what are their most important strategic assets? If it's a bank, you know, their IT infrastructure, their communication infrastructure, and you know what? Their retail banking facilities are very important because that has to do with sort of the image they portray, at least in some sense, to their end clients, and it has to do with, you know, maintaining customer relationships. If it's a utility, it's their power generation plants down to their transmission distribution infrastructure right down to the meter and in some senses into the house now. So think about what are the most important assets and who can I go talk to about, you know, what kind of handle do they have on their asset infrastructure? How is the company leveraging new technology? Maybe it's a smart meter. Maybe it's energy management, the data center. How are they leveraging new technology to improve operations? Where are they on that journey? Do they have key metrics that they're leveraging and measuring against that can drive, you know, analysis and response? How are they achieving operational compliance? Have they had issues within the past 18 months? What was the foundation of those issues? So you can see a lot of different questions here that will lead to a dialogue with prospects and customers that very likely will yield some type of latent or active pain that we can then, you know, leverage to build upon an account strategy. So as we start to wrap up, let me just provide you with a few contacts. If you look at slide 19, you see here our sales management in the United States. Our worldwide leader is Lee Blakemore, North America IoT leader Mark Gruzin, and then we are organized by sector under that. And you can see those names here. Our channels lead is Rick Scanron. You see myself there as a worldwide industry leader, and then a team of folks underneath that cover a respective industry, and these folks are domain experts and sales experts in their industries. These are good folks to call on, as well as a team that extends across CBS, GTS, product management, marketing. So don't hesitate to contact anyone on this list with the question, you know, how would I ask this? I just found this information out. Can you help me? We want to work with you here to not only create OI, but transition OI into qualified opportunities. So in closing, slide 20, again, I hope you found this presentation useful. I'd encourage you to use this content. You know, every client conversation I have now, SMART is working its way into the conversation. And clients want to hear, you know, okay, IBM, I saw the commercials, I read the article in the Wall Street Journal. You know, give me an example. You know, how can you help me? And if we have an appropriate understanding of their business issues in their industry, this topic, asset management, again, is a very tangible way, one way, but a very tangible way to open up a dialogue with that client and, again, potentially uncover opportunity. So I'd encourage you to leverage the ROI tool and the sales kits. And, again, don't hesitate to contact a member of the asset management team once you find an opportunity. With that, Becca, I'd like to turn the call back to you and see if we can build some questions here.
Thank you. And if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name when prompted. To withdraw your questions, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment for any questions, please. The first question will come from Chris Newberry.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Hey, back on slide 9, you had a bunch of numbers.
Yes.
And then we had a statement on the bottom. I'm assuming that those numbers did not come from the American Society of Civil Engineers. Some of those maybe came from customers or studies we've done. What is the background of those, or what's the Where'd you get those numbers, basically? Because I'm going to be asked that when I present these numbers.
Yeah.
So
2 points. One is, yes, the four numbers above don't relate to the civil engineering comment about the D infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers above come from four different studies, independent studies that were done, and I can send you the information on those.
If you would, I'd appreciate that, or maybe circulate just to the group, because we're going to get hit with that. And customers seem to be, as we bring the term smart into your conversations, the customers want to see more smart data, I guess, and not
mm-hmm.
taking us on face value anymore. So they want to see where the numbers come from, who are the companies behind them, if at all possible. And,
yep.
Of course, the next question is, can I talk to them? So.
Right. Well, we'll get the information out. And the other thing I'd encourage, I know just personally, I found the recent CIO and CEO studies that were done by IBM,
mm-hmm.
Those held some pretty good data too. So I'd encourage everybody on the phone to take a look through those, and there's some really good talking points and data within there.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the question.
Eric Deal.
Pete, I was going to ask you, on the smart meter, the energy one, do we have a little more in-depth case study on that somewhere that I can pull up online somewhere?
Yeah, we do. In fact, we're working with, as you can imagine, across the company right now on several pilots and rollouts. So if you could maybe just send me an email, I'll get you specifics. One place to look, obviously there's a variety of industry content up on W3. If you go to on the main corporate web page under the Smarter Energy, IBM.com/smarterplanet, and then you can go to energy, there's some information there. But you know, we're working with various customers and that are in various stages of deployment, and some of that information isn't published. So if you need information for a particular client, you can send me a note or send a note to Diane Dupuis, whose name is on the contact list. She's our utilities industry leader.
Okay, Diane Dupuis or you?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. And I should point out there, you know, we're engaged with, you know, the Tivoli Industry Solutions team. There's some architects deployed. You know, Guido Bartel's team obviously is doing a lot of work in this area. We're engaged there, as well as the ENU team within GBS and GTS. Thanks for the question.
Mike Riley.
Hi, I work with several outsourcers or computer services providers, and I wanted to ask if there's anything special that we should be considering when we approach those kinds of customers, and who on the key contact list would be the best one to work with on service providers or outsourcers.
Okay. So what we may want to do, if you're handling a couple, is maybe have a call and talk through those. You can reach out to myself and then Don Busick, who's in product management. One thing we didn't talk about on the call, per se, with regards to our solution, is that we see lots of customers, you know, particularly manufacturers and then obviously the dedicated service providers. There's an element to their business that goes above and beyond what a normal client would do to maintain their own internal operations. An outsourcer or a service provider needs to worry about billing, you know, customer relationships, things like that. Their SLAs can be a little bit more complex. So we actually extend our solution. We have an optional product, if you will, that applies there. And I think it would be good for us to talk with you about what that is and how that applies. And we can give you some reference stories in terms of both IT outsourcers as well as manufacturers in the aftermarket service business that are doing this today.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the question.
James Martin.
Hey, Pete, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, I cover a lot of good stuff, by the way, here. I cover GB territory, a lot of healthcare. I have a customer interested in help desk, SRM, that kind of stuff. Just interested to know, do we have many wins in healthcare, particularly small to medium-sized hospitals, and any references, folks I could talk to about that?
Great. Now, this is a great question. Healthcare, the answer is yes, and the best person to contact would be Cleo Clark, who's one of our sales leaders.
Okay.
And we have a couple hundred, you know, pretty good install base in healthcare, from, you know, large multi-site, you know, a couple thousand bed hospitals down to, you know, small couple hundred bed hospitals. And the reason I think hospitals are a great sort of microcosm of a smarter planet is you're bringing in sort of the classic facility management, I got to worry about that. But if you think about biomedical assets as an example, a biomedical piece of machinery is a great example of an intelligent asset, right? And when you couple that with the regulatory requirements and JCO and whatnot, it's a good space for us. So we can provide references, and I think we'd be very open to talking with you about targeting those customers. So ClioClock is the best start.
Great. Appreciate it. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
If there are any final questions, please press star 1 at this time. Again, please unmute your phone and record your name when prompted. The next question will come from Daniel Coffey. Please check your mute button.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Dan.
I had the same question on slide 9, so I look forward to getting that data. I know we'll be asked for it. The only other thing I had was on the ROI piece. The Alinean document that I've seen primarily covers enterprise procurement and inventory management. I'm not seeing a wider ROI document, but we could sure use one.
Okay. I will take that into account. I'm actually sitting in a room with Tony Hodge, so we'll look into that and we'll get a response back out.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Once again, if there are any final questions, please press star 1 at this time. One moment for any final questions, please. The next question will come from William Lopez.
Hi, I got a question regarding the presentation material and any Latin American countries and partners that may be working with those different enterprises and public sector.
Okay.
Is there any there?
Yes. We have a sales team, obviously, that covers Latin America. We have a good customer base within which we're working, which would include the governments, you know, various governments, including Brazil. The best thing to do here, if you want to send me a note, I'll create some linkage between yourself and our Latin America sales leader, and we can take it from there. But this product is very applicable in public sector across Latin America, and we do translate into all the appropriate languages.
Yeah, and the second part, any major alliances with other companies to resell this product in Latin America?
We do. We have, I don't know the definition of major, but we do have several relationships with some very productive resellers in the region, and I could share those with you offline.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the question.
There are no further questions.
Okay. Thanks, Becca. Well, again, thank you, everybody, for taking time out of your day to join the call or to review this webcast. You know, this is an exciting time, and I think if you sort of the decade of smart, as it's now been renamed, I'd encourage all of you to, again, dialogue with our clients. All of our clients rely on assets to do their job. All of our clients continually strive for a way to, you know, get more out of their assets, to defer costs, to do better in the regulatory compliance. And a lot of that starts with just better visibility. You know, I need to understand everything I have, how it relates, and then I can move forward. I can get more intelligent. I can make smarter business decisions. We are the only company in the world that has an enterprise software solution that can help these clients meet that challenge. So I'd encourage everyone to do this. I think you'll find it will yield great opportunities for you in 2010. And again, please don't hesitate to contact any member of the Maximo team with questions or thoughts or ideas. So with that, I'm going to conclude the call. Hope everybody has a good week, and I look forward to seeing you and all of your customers at Pulse. Have a good day. Thank you. Mm-hmm.